We'll look at supply problems for a life-saving commodity, oxygen. I'm David Brancaccio. Some parts of the country are running low on oxygen, the bottled stuff to help people with breathing problems. This due to pandemic distortions in supply chains and this big storm, Ida. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra reports.
Right now, because of COVID, hospitals are using way more oxygen than they normally would, and some are close to running out. Mary Mayhew is head of the Florida Hospital Association.
We had a survey last week where a number of hospitals had less than 48 hours worth of oxygen on site.
Part of the problem is transportation. There's a fire risk with liquid oxygen, and you need a special license to transport it. Dr. Eric Toner is with the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security.
In California, they were having issues of having enough commercial truck drivers who are certified to drive the trucks.
The crisis could get worse in the South this week because of Tropical Depression Ida. Stephen A. Melnick at Michigan State University recalls Hurricane Katrina.
When Katrina hit, it basically devastated the transportation networks.
If roads are damaged or flooded, it'll be harder for truck drivers to get oxygen to hospitals and to patients injured in the storm. I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
Video gaming stocks in Asia have clawed back some of their losses after the Chinese government announced it's banning young people, minors, from playing video games on school nights and limiting weekend and holiday play to 1 hour a day. Gaming giant Tencent shares in Hong Kong did bounce back by 3% after an initial drop, although NetEase and Bilibili ended in negative territory. Video games are a $40 billion industry in China. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pack has more.
Chinese state media describe video games as, quote, spiritual opium. In 2018, officials stopped approving new video games for 9 months without explanation. An estimated 400 Chinese gaming firms, gone. Since 2019, China has required gamers to register with their real name and ID number. This allows internet companies to track and limit playing time on school nights for young players. The new rules go further and essentially bar children under the age of 18 from playing online video games, except for 1 hour a day from 8 to 9 p.m., Fridays through Sundays, and on holidays. Some young players are angry with the latest rules, but Chinese moms and dads are on board. There have been reports of children spending their parents' life savings to buy mobile gaming upgrades. Tech giant Tencent has already been fined in recent months for anti-competitive behavior. Now, its gaming revenue might take a tiny hit. Less than 3% comes from minors. China's new gaming rules come into effect September 1st. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
Checking stock market Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up in the 0.1% range.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Robinhood is the trade stocks for free app that has been the next phase of what's called the democratization of personal finance, with lots of younger people using the platform to start buying and selling. But Robinhood stock fell 7% yesterday after the big payment system PayPal said it may start a rival online brokerage. Plus, the Securities and Exchange Commission chief revealed in an interview that he thinks the way Robinhood makes money by giving dibs on transactions to wholesale brokers is a conflict of interest. Meanwhile, other moves to give the people the financial tools used by the very rich are raising questions. You may say, how come only rich people can do hedge funds, private equity, or venture capital? Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell looked into this. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So if these more exotic ways of investing became open to more people, you didn't have to just be super rich, I guess more people will get access to those kind of fancy returns, you'd think.
Well, here's the thing. They're not going to get access to the fancy returns. At least that's my takeaway, looking at a recent study by two economists. Now, Hess's bland title, Asset Allocation and Returns in the Portfolios of the Wealthy. But David, really, it's an intriguing paper with data on the investment portfolios and returns of roughly 60,000 wealthy investors.
It, for instance, in this section of the paper, looked at people who are wicked rich and people who are pretty darn wealthy. And what did they find? These are all people who had access to private equity, hedge funds, and all that stuff.
So the wealthy investors, they did significantly better than their less wealthy peers. Now, David, the less wealthy peers, they had assets of $3 to $10 million. But when they looked at how they did in the hedge funds, how they did in private equity, and how they did in venture capital, the less wealthy did less well compared to those that, you know, are living off $100 million or more.
By the way, that paper you were telling me showed that even the wealthiest who did better, risk-adjusted average return was less than 4%. I mean, it's not like astronomical.
No, it's not astronomical. But I think there is another point that I want to draw out of this that really deals with how individual investors should approach this democratization of finance theme. And it was an analogy drawn by Timothy Taylor. He's an economist at McAllister College. And he said, look, back in the 1990s, you had these big institutions like Harvard and Stanford. You know, they put a lot of money into alternative investments and they did really well. And so a lot of smaller colleges and universities, smaller endowments, they said, hey, we can do this. And of course, Wall Street was selling them the product and they didn't do very well. Again, there was this big gap. And what it comes down to, David, is when you have a lot of money, you get access to the best. But the other thing is you also can build up this infrastructure to really monitor and analyze these investments.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell in St. Paul. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our producers are Rose Conlon, Meredith Gerritsen, Stephen Ryan, Alex Schroeder, Daniel Shin, and Erica Soderstrom. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.